As we prepare for Ruth to read for us our gospel lesson, let's pray our prayer for illumination. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this your word, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen.
Our scripture lesson comes to us today from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Please be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Ruth. Kids, gather around. It's a Pastor Chris Children's Sermon Day. Kids, today Jesus told a story to his disciples about a great king who had a servant that owed him some money. And I want you to imagine and think about the most money that you can possibly imagine. What's, Mr. Bob, maybe you could tell me, what's the most money you can possibly imagine?
$6.
$6. That's not a good answer. Kids, I know you have a better answer than Mr. Bob. I can imagine my kids would probably say, if they were here today, like $1 million or $1 billion. That's a lot of money. And that's the amount of money that this servant owed the king. And so the king brought him in and wanted to throw him in jail to pay back all of the money. And the servant, he fell on his knees and he begged. He said, "Give me time and I'll repay you." And you know what that king did? The king said, "That's okay. You don't have to pay me back at all." Can you imagine that? It's like someone gave you $1 billion. Kids, would you like it if someone gave you $1 billion? But if you talk to your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa, whoever you're watching with today, they would probably tell you, yes, you would like it if someone gave you $1 billion. So with great joy and great excitement, the servant ran out into the street, and the first person he saw was his friend that owed him a little bit of money, like $6, maybe. Like his friend, he had bought his friend a Hershey's bar, a Hershey's chocolate bar, and then he just wanted him to pay it back, but he wouldn't do it. And so the man was mad at his friend, and rather than just forgiving him and saying, "It's okay, you don't need to pay me back for the chocolate bar," instead he had him thrown into jail. Now, was that a very nice thing to do? No, it was not a very nice thing to do. And all of the other servants saw this going on and went and told the king what had happened. And the king was very, very angry and decided that he was going to make the man pay back $1 billion which is going to take a really long time. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you guys are like the servant that was forgiven $1 billion. It's kind of like how when we do bad things, sometimes we hit our brother or our sister, or we're not quite listening to our teacher on the computer when they're streaming maybe, or we don't turn off the TV when our parents tell us to, but instead we kind of sneak things instead. But our parents don't stop loving us, and neither does God. See, Jesus is telling his disciples that God loves them no matter what, and will forgive them over and over and over again as many times as it takes. You see, the love of God is so big that God just keeps on loving us. And all God asks in return is that we show that same love and that same forgiveness to other people. So kids, if your brother or your sister hits you, should you hit them back? Well, you want to hit them back. I know I've seen it firsthand. But instead, Jesus wants us to forgive, to say we're sorry when we do bad things, and to forgive each other and to love each other. And I hope that you can do that today. It'll make Jesus very happy. Let's bow our heads in prayer, kids. Almighty God, we thank you for this lesson from your word, and we thank you for teaching us about how much you love us and how much you're willing to forgive us. We pray that we would always forgive each other too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for everyone else today, the sermon title is, Do We Ever Run Out of Chances? Good question. Earlier on in chapter 18 of Matthew's gospel, where we get today's reading from, Jesus tells his disciples what they should do if someone sins against them, if someone does something to them that's wrong. Should they go tell someone else about it and kind of talk behind the person's back? No. That's called triangulation. It's something that we're really good at. It's uncomfortable to go and confront someone directly when they have done wrong to you, and yet Jesus says you should do that. Step one, go and talk to the person yourself. Tell them how hurt you are, how they've done wrong. If they won't listen to you, then take someone else. Now it's okay to include another person. Take them with you and go and sit and have the discussion again. And if they still won't listen, then bring them before the entire assembly. And if they still won't listen, then treat them like you would a pagan or a tax collector. Here's Jesus taking the hard stance with his disciples, giving them permission. Three strikes and you're out. So, Peter comes to Jesus, and he's feeling very extravagant. He's feeling very generous. And he says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times? This is Peter saying, three seems a little harsh. How about seven? There's some generosity for you. And you know what Jesus has the nerve to say? Not seven times, but 77 times. Now, as I told the folks at 9 o'clock in a room filled with teachers, and here again I am in a room filled with teachers, it's important that we work out the math here, because it's important to know whether Jesus means we only have to forgive 77 times or 70 times 7 or 490 times. I need to know. Is it okay for me to reject my brother after the 78th time or the 491st time. The joke sort of falls on deaf ears when you're not in a room full of people who to acknowledge how hilarious you're being. Of course, maybe we're not supposed to keep track, Jesus says, Jesus always tells a story. Jesus tells these parables, and he tells this parable. He says, there is a king in a certain country who is tallying up his books. And he calls each of the people in who owe him money, and he calls this person in, and it's revealed that the guy owes him 10,000 talents. Now, it can be kind of hard to understand these terms, talents, denarii. So in today's terms, just for quick reference, think of a talent as a year's wages. Okay, so whatever you owe, or whatever you make, rather, in a year, multiply that by 10,000. And that's the amount of money that he owes the king. 10,000 years worth of wages. With the idea being, how long would it take him to pay off that debt if he wanted to pay it all off? 10,000 years. And that's if he didn't have to pay anything else. Causes me to wonder, like, what does a person have to do to rack up 10,000 years worth of debt? I hope he has something nice. Well, chances are he doesn't. Right? We have a debt problem in America. Credit card debt, student loans, car debt, often with not a lot to show for it. But 10,000 years, even that's extreme. And so the king says, you know what? I'm going to throw you in prison, you and your family, until you can pay it off. It's like debtor's prison. Right? It's like if someone owes you money, you can throw them in jail and they work until they pay it off and then they get out. 10,000 years. And the man, he falls down on his knees and he says, please be patient with me and I promise I'll pay you back everything I owe you. Which is going to take a long time. And the king says, you know what? You're right. I was being harsh. I forgive it. You don't have to pay it back at all. Your debt is forgiven. Slate is wiped clean. Johnny, tear that page out of the book. What an amazing sense of freedom. I want you to think about the debt in your life. Think about your mortgage on your house or maybe your student loans. On family vacations, sometimes my family listens to the Dave Ramsey podcast. You know about this? Have you ever listened to this before? Dave Ramsey is the guy with the Total Money Makeover. We've done Financial Peace University here at Abundant Life before. And people call in and talk to Dave about their money issues. And if Dave doesn't tell them how dumb they are for getting into the money issues they are, people have these amazing stories. And his thing is always, you know, don't take out $100,000 in debt for a college major in German polka history. Right? But they do. They have these amazing stories of all of this money that they owe. Imagine that the person, the company, the group that you owe money to called you and said, your debt's forgiven. You don't have to pay it back. How generous would you be able to be? How would your life change if you didn't have all of that debt hanging on you? Well, that's exactly what happens to this person. It's like he was never going to get out of debt, and then the king just forgives it and then sends him on his way, all the weight and all the burden off of his shoulders, and he goes out and he's enabled to be generous. And so, of course, he finds the first person that he sees is someone who owes him some money. Jesus says, 100 denarii. A denarius, just for round purposes, think of it as one day's wages. So this guy owes him about 3 months. Let's just call it 3 months worth of wages. Nothing compared to what he had owed to the king. And he walks over, and what does he do? Chokes him. He chokes his fellow servant like Homer Simpson around Bart's neck, you know, and he says, pay me back what you owe me. And the servant falls to his knees and he says to his fellow servant, please be patient with me and I'll pay you back everything I owe you. Which, if that sounds familiar to you, it should, because those are the exact words that the first servant who owed so much money said to the king. But this servant was not merciful or patient or forgiving to his fellow servant, but instead had him and his family thrown in jail until he could pay everything back. Now the other servants saw what was going on and knew that this isn't right. And so they told the king, and the king had the man brought back before him and said, I forgave you so much, and you couldn't even be merciful to your fellow servant. So here, I'm going to lock you and your family up, and you can work until you pay it all back, every last cent. And Jesus says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you don't forgive your brother, your fellow servants, your fellow humans. Now that's harsh. That's harsh. And this parable gets into the nitty-gritty around what is so hard about forgiveness for us as human beings. Because we acknowledge every Sunday that we're forgiven, right? We confess our sins. We hear words from God's word of assurance, and we end every service with the prayer that Jesus taught us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or, when we're in mixed church company, the jumbled jargon of forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or in simpler terms, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We acknowledge that we're forgiven, and we acknowledge in our prayers our need to forgive others. We wouldn't pray it every Sunday if it wasn't foundational to what it means to be Christians. If it didn't make up the bedrock foundation of what it is to be people that have faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you would imagine, with all of the Christians and all of that forgiveness, that our world must be a great place filled with people who treat each other charitably and don't hold grudges and are full of forgiveness for people who do them wrong or who slight them in some way. Interestingly, we start out the year here, our church ministry year. It's sort of like when school starts, it's kind of like a new year. Our Jewish friends will be celebrating their new year. Rosh Hashanah literally the head of the year, the top of the year, followed up 10 days later by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. They start off their calendar year recognizing that they need to make amends. That's what our spiritual heritage is as Christians. You see, forgiveness is not something new to Christianity, certainly. If we go all the way back to the beginnings in Genesis and Exodus, we find stories of God forgiving when people sin, and examples of people who don't understand what to do with that forgiveness, but instead seek out their pound of flesh. We don't live in the utopian world that I described, where all of the people of faith forgive each other. No. We can't even forgive each other in the church. We're at odds with each other. Our lack of forgiveness and compassion for one another breaks down relationships. The gift that the king gave to the servant was not just the gift of forgiveness, but it was the gift of his ability to then turn around and forgive his fellow servant, to live in full community with that person. Under the old deal, where the guy owed his 10,000 talents, if he was going to pay it back, he needed his fellow servant to pay him back. Right? In order to pay, you must be paid. But with that burden no longer there, he could have forgiven his fellow servant. But he didn't. Because forgiveness is hard. Because we think to ourselves, how many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? Like, how many times is too many times? How does the old saying go? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Not a lot of forgiveness in that phrase. We're coming up on election season here in our country. You want to see an atmosphere of grace and forgiveness? Check out social media, where people roast each other over nothing. We want to exact our pound of flesh. We want not to forgive, because that doesn't feel as good as getting back at someone, scoring our punches, landing our points. We've devalued relationships. In the interest of being right. And that lack of forgiveness is tearing us apart. It's tearing the church apart. We need to remember where we come from. We need to remember what's so important about the first half of the parable so we can get the second half of the parable right. We need to remember the depth of our sin, the depth of our debt to God. You see, it's not as if we are fundamentally good people who usually do the right thing. We're not. One of the foundational aspects of what it is to be a Reformed Christian is our belief that because of our sin and because of the depth of human sin, that we are incapable of paying off our debt. If you've ever heard of total depravity before, that's what that is. It means that we are totally incapable of doing enough good to ever justify ourselves in the eyes of God. It was going to take that servant 10,000 years to pay off the debt, and that's if he didn't go into more debt. But the truth is, we do. We go into more debt every day. We rack up our accounts with God. We treat each other harshly. We don't give our proper glory to God. We focus more in on ourselves and our own desires than on what God would want for us. And every time that we do that, and every day that we do that, and everything that is part of the fabric of who we are as a people continues to increase our debt with God. 10,000 talents, 20,000 talents, 30,000 talents, and you're never paying that sucker off. But guess what? The king says, don't worry about it. It's forgiven. Don't carry that weight around. Let it roll off of you. Experience the freedom that comes with being in full relationship with God. We need to focus on that relationship today, friends, and nurture that relationship and drink deeply in that well, spending time in prayer with God, spending time in studying the scriptures, spending time in meditating and looking at our world and figuring out how God is at work and how we tell the stories of salvation, that God, what God has done for us. And the gift of that forgiveness is that it frees us to be in forgiving relationships with each other. And that's what's hard. It's hard because we wrong each other and we feel bad about it. And so sometimes we have trouble forgiving other people, and sometimes we have trouble forgiving ourselves and believing that we are a forgiven people. Forgiveness is hard because there are times when it may not even be appropriate to forgive someone, at least not right away. And as I said at the early service, I'll say now especially for those far and wide who might be paying attention on Facebook, if you're in an abusive relationship today and someone tells you that you need to forgive your abuser and stay in the situation that you're in so that you can be abused again and again and again, one time is too many times. You should leave that situation. And if you need help with that, reach out to me and I will find ways to help you out of the situation that you are in. Forgiveness can come later. But in most situations, forgiveness is a gift that we need to give other people and that we need to give ourselves. Because forgiveness is the first step along the path of reconciliation that brings us back into full relationship. We can't let the petty debts that we rack up against each other ruin our lives and ruin our friendships and ruin our relationships and ruin our ability to see God clearly as well. Because ultimately, the lack of forgiveness from that servant alienated him in his relationship with the king. Because he could not find it in his heart to extend that same forgiveness to his fellow servant, the gift of forgiveness was rescinded to him and he was at odds. And that's what happens. The more we are at odds with our fellow human beings, the less connected we are with God. I'm saying it right now. It is fundamentally incompatible with the Christian faith for you to hold grudges against people that you disagree with in such a way that it destroys your relationship with one another and claim that you can still love God. John writes in his letter to the churches that you can't say that you love God if you don't love your fellow human being and tell the truth. If you say, I love God, but hate your neighbor, then you're nothing but a liar. Because God is love. And God is forgiveness. And so today, as we wrap this thing up, there's a little self-evaluation that's needed. Look into your heart and ask your heart this question. Are you growing in compassion for your fellow human being? Are you growing in forgiveness and reconciliation towards those that you disagree with? Do you look at the person that might be called your enemy? And are you growing in love and compassion and forgiveness toward that person? And if the answer is that no, you're not growing, it's actually being depleted, then it's time to step away from all of the junk that this world has to offer, your social media, your 24-hour news network, and all the rest, and focus in on your relationship with your Heavenly Father who loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, that your sin might be forgiven, that your debt might be wiped away. Focus in on that love and that compassion that never ends. The title of the sermon is, Do We Ever Run Out of Chances with God? The answer is no. And with the power of that knowledge and the Spirit working within us, it's time that we stop looking to exact our pound of flesh out of those that we disagree with. Across the political spectrum, across the faith perspective, whatever it might be. Focus our eyes on Jesus and the love that He has for us and the forgiveness that we've received. To be generous and extravagant in our forgiveness for one another. Thanks be to God for that opportunity and that gift. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, we do thank You for the gift of forgiveness, wiping the slate clean when it comes to our debt with You. We pray that we would have the courage and compassion to have that same reconciliation with each other. Give us many, many opportunities to show the world who we are, Your disciples. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is one of the oldest affirmations of faith in the Christian faith, from the Council of Nicaea, 4th century, the Nicene Creed. People of God, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.